Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the witness that you are unveiling in us, Father. The witness of the cross, the true and faithful witness, the witness in blood, water and spirit, the witness that Jesus suffered to give us, Father, the witness that is ours by the Holy Spirit, the witness that is being brought alive in us so that we will be alive to you and be able to do all things that you bring forth in our lives, Father. So Father God, unveil to us the position that you have for us, that we may appreciate how awesome is this treasure that you have unveiled to us, Lord. Enable us, O God, to realize what you have given us in Christ Jesus. Enable us to realize what stands in us, O God, entirely in his merits, Lord. Enable us to realize, O God, what the Holy Spirit has labored to bring forth in us, O God. So Father God, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for what you have given us, Lord. Enable us to use this witness to truly testify of you, to truly, O God, minister in your name, to truly, O God, express the love of Jesus, so that truly, Father, we will touch the lives of others, that we will bless others, that we will be a blessing in all that we become, Father, that we will truly, O God, testify, O God, that you are indeed the wealth of our heart, Lord, that you are indeed everything in our lives, Father. So, Father God, we pray that as this witness is brought alive in us, O God, that we will come to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That in this love that we receive and realize from you, Father, we will in turn be able to express that love to our neighbors, O God, loving them as ourselves, Father, giving them freely what we have received freely, Lord. For freely you have given. Freely, O God, we receive, Father, and freely enable us, O God, to give to others, Lord, that all things may be done to the glory of your name, that we will boast in your grace, that we will boast in your mercy, that we will boast in your abundant loving kindness, that we will boast in your compassion, that we will boast, O God, in the truth that sets us free, that we will boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, the treasure of our hearts, that we will boast in all things by the Spirit, in Jesus' name, Father. So we give you all glory, Father, for you alone are worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. So as we come alive to the Lord our God, as we come alive to this witness that God has given us, we will come alive to the fact that God loves us, that God has enabled us to realize blessings far beyond our intelligence, far beyond our talents, far beyond anything we could have possibly conceived in ourselves. In this witness that God has given us through the cross, this witness of blood, water and spirit, God has opened us to his abundance. God has opened us to a position in which we stand before him. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 8. Or rather 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. In the New King James Bible. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So the witness that of blood, water, and spirit is within us. The witness of God is a witness unveiled from heaven. But in this witness that is within us, we stand before God. And today we want to talk about the position God has given us. A position that we are called to realize. A position that we are called to understand that Jesus Christ has given to us through his sacrifice. It is very important for us to understand that this position stands in what Jesus has done for us. This is an awesome position, and all of us are called to receive and realize this position so that we can become the vessels that God wants us to be. Vessels fully equipped in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Vessels fully equipped in his witness. Vessels fully equipped in his faith and his love. Vessels fully equipped in his testimony. Vessels enabled in his spirit and his life. Vessels brought forth by the Holy Spirit. You see, this witness that God is talking about is the witness that the Holy Spirit is in charge of developing within us. It is a witness that Jesus fashioned in his being for us as a man. And it's a witness that God is bringing forth inside. And it's meant to become a functional witness, a fully functional witness. And as you come alive to this witness, you will begin to die to your fleshly ways. As you begin to see and understand the greatness of God, you will start willingly in your own free will, giving up the mediocrity of living in your own fleshly ways. You see, to grow in God has to be something that has to be birthed out of your own free will. God cannot force you to do something because He created you as a free will being. So everything that God does in you and me has to be something we have to yield to in our own free will. And the whole message, the Christian message, is for us to understand the love of God, realize the love of God, and in the realization of the love of God, come to yield to what God is wanting to do in our lives. So it is that process of being drawn into the wonder of God that is at the heart, right, of what we are talking about. This true and faithful witness, this witness in blood, water, and spirit, is a witness of love. The Bible says that God is love. Through this witness, He is manifesting that love. The Bible says that Jesus has given us in Himself a sacrifice that will be able to break through every yoke of darkness, enable us to become a people who will belong to God, enable us to become a people who will cherish the reality of God. Now all this is going to be developed in this witness within us. The person of God who works this witness into us is God the Holy Spirit. And this witness is a manifold witness. You can see visions in this witness. You can hear the voice of God. You can hear the leading of God. You can realize the power of God being released through you. You can speak words that God will one day perform, sometimes instantaneously, right? You will see God bring into you the realities of His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding through His witness. There is an awesome potential for each and every one of us in this reality of the witness. So in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, God the Holy Spirit is telling us that we have a position because of Jesus Christ. And that position is directly before the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that position is alive to our hearts. And that position we must come to discover as a fully functional reality, so that we can live, move, and have our being in God. So that we can live, move, and have our being in God. And all this is the workmanship of God. This is not something that you can cook up in your own strength or in your own fleshly zeal or in religious zeal. God is not looking to establish a religion. God is looking to establish a relationship with you. And in the ministry that God wants to unveil in your life, He wants that relationship to be manifested. Because if you have a relationship with God, you will always give expression to His love for you. And it is the heart of ministry that we manifest all things that we do in ministry, whatever gift of the Holy Spirit that we operate in, whatever anointing or calling in which we operate in, that we manifest all things in this witness in the love of God. Then we can touch the world. Then we can change the world. Not in our zeal, not in our efforts, but in unveiling the glory of the living God, in unveiling the love of the living God, in unveiling the purposes of the living God, in showing man that God is infinitely better, a better choice than anything they can conceive of themselves. See, that's the message we have to receive, realize in our witness, and give expression to. Then every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. It is only through this witness that Jesus Christ gave us through sacrifice that we can in turn see the world bow before that witness as we express it. If we express our own carnal desires, if we express just fleshly ways, if we just express our own religious zeal, nobody is going to be changed by that. You see, unveiling this witness is a matter of life and death. Because people have for centuries been cheated by religion. By people who have used religion to manipulate the human race. That's why some of the most wicked people in human history have come out of religion. Therefore, we have to understand something very fundamental, that in realizing this witness, God is asking us to unveil Him through our lives. It involves our free will giving access to the wonder of God. Our free will, willing to search out this witness and develop this witness by the Spirit in Jesus' name. It is our responsibility to discover the love of God. It is our responsibility to discover what position God has given us in His grace and mercy. What position God has unveiled to us in His righteousness. What position God has given us in the realization of the faith and love of Jesus. You see, in the cross, Jesus expressed to us a faith and a love that will enable us to do all things in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's the heart of what the cross is saying. That's why Jesus came to give Himself for us. To express for each one of us what we don't have in ourselves. To express a faith that we don't have. To express a love we don't have. To express a nature and a character that none of us has. So right after they had driven spikes into His body, Jesus rises above the witness of the world. The witness of hatred, sin, wickedness, malice, darkness, lust, dishonesty, crookedness, whatever form of witness of the world. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What is He saying? That the world does not know anything of what it's doing. That the world indulges in sin without understanding that sin will claim their lives. That sin will ultimately destroy everything. That sin will destroy the human being. It will destroy the human race. It will destroy every good thing. The reason sin hasn't fully destroyed everything is simply because of the grace of God. So on the cross, Jesus unveiled a witness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So today the Lord is asking you, have you received that witness? Have you received the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Do you want that forgiveness to set you free? Because forgiveness is not just simply saying, oh Lord, I am sorry. Forgiveness is the willingness to ask God to enable us to be changed. The change comes from God, but the willingness to allow God to work in our lives has to come from us. So this witness is being built in our yieldedness to God. And this is very important. That you have in your heart, in your own free will, got to come to a decision in your life where you are going to a decision that you're going to exercise every day, asking God to come alive to you, asking God to manifest His goodness inside of you, asking God to bless you in Christ Jesus and release you from every bondage of darkness so that you will become the vessel that God wants you to become. You have to trust God in order to realize this. That's why God manifested Himself not in a huge glory with all the angels standing around Him. He manifested Himself in the cross. Because the purpose of the cross is to open the human heart. The purpose of the cross is to manifest a witness into the hard hearts of men. The purpose of the cross is to bring salvation into the human race. To develop the whole reality of salvation from the inward parts of man. To give the human being an evidence that God is love in his own heart. To give an evidence that God is love in the very witness of the human being. That as man discovers that God is good, that God is love, he will be transformed so that he will live his life for the glory of God. And when man is willing to live his life for the glory of God, God can bless the human being with anything and everything. You see, the fundamentals have to be right inside of us. As we are building ourselves in the reality of being a witness for God, as we receive and realize the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we receive and realize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as we receive and realize in our hearts the reality of being alive before God our Father, we have to understand that everything that God is doing inside of us is so as to make us a blessing, so that we will unveil His wonder, so that we will express the beauty of Him through our very beings. That's why the Bible says that you and I are the temple of God. We are the dwelling place of God. Because in this dwelling place, God has chosen to manifest His name. In this dwelling place, God has chosen to unveil His witness. And His witness is going to be peculiar in each one of our lives. So each one of us will manifest a unique facet of the wonder of God that we have received and realized in our own free will in a relationship with God. And everything that we receive and realize in a relationship with God will be built inside of us. It will be living inside of us. It will fashion and form our thoughts. It will fashion and form our desires. It will fashion and form our intents. Hello? I want you to look at a verse. It's found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you. I'll repeat that. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Both to will. Whose will? Your will. To fashion your will so that you will be unveiled in a work that will bring pleasure to His heart. How does a human being change? By all that God enables within that person. See, at the heart of salvation is this willingness of God to labor with our hard hearts, with our stubborn ways, with our prideful ways, and cause us in our own free will to receive and realize a reality that will enable us to do the work of God, that will unfold what is right and pleasing to God. That's His work. It's a work that is a labor of love, a labor of immense patience, a labor in which he is bringing forth in us an abundance that will truly cause us to be an awesome creation in Christ Jesus. So remember Ephesians 2:10? Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. Listen to the words. The Bible is saying some pretty powerful stuff that no other religion in the world is even beginning to say. You have to understand this, right? That the Bible is saying that you and I are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for genuinely good works. And we need to understand this, that the reason why God is manifesting this true and faithful witness in blood, water, and spirit is to enable us to do all those things that we are struggling with, to bring forth things that are truly right and true in our hearts. So you must appreciate what God has as a plan over your life. Nobody can do that for you. It is your job to hear what the Word of God is saying. It is your job to understand how God has blessed you. It is your job then to realize that blessing and then communicate that blessing into other people, because God wants that witness to be multiplied. That's why Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, broke it and multiplied it and fed the 5,000. Amen. What does 5,000 represent in the Bible? 5 times 10 to the power of 3. 5 is the number of grace. 10 is the number of completion. 3 is the number of God, the witness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is God saying? That He multiplied the bread as a manifestation of His grace, to complete His grace by His own name. That's why the Bible mentions numbers like that, 5,000. And what was left after that? 12 baskets full. What does 12 represent? The church. That once God has multiplied this bread and manifested it by grace so that we can be completed in His name, we will unveil as the church that God wants us to be. The temple that in which He can manifest His glory. See, what is the plan of God to unveil us as a temple? And we need to understand that fundamental reality, which is why we call this school the Tabernacle School of Ministry. Meaning that as you unveil as a tabernacle of the Lord your God, as you unveil as the dwelling place of God, you will then be able to minister to people in that reality. God will enable it. God will manifest it. It will be the work of God. And when you proclaim that ministry, you will proclaim that ministry in the fact that Jesus has paid a price for you and you have discovered the reality of that price paid for you. And in that price paid for you, in His faith and in His love for you, in His forgiveness of all of your sinfulness and my sinfulness, all of the wickedness of our generations, that we will unfold as a people who can truly proclaim that we are saved, that God has done a miracle in our lives. You see, brethren, when we minister to people, people must hear our heart declare that Jesus is Lord. People don't need us to go out there and cook up something and sell them something. We are not doing a marketing job. We are declaring the truth, and the truth requires no defense. The truth will penetrate every darkness. The truth will speak as itself, because the truth is life. The truth is living. The truth will set people free. They can experience it. You don't have to con them. You don't have to do a marketing job to tell them that God is real. Because when you speak, the reality of God will be communicated from your heart. See, that is the heart of Christian ministry. And we have all got to have that responsibility to commit to God, to allow Him to bring that witness from our hearts. Right? The accuser will always tell you, you're not fit, you're not this, and you're not that, and you're not good enough. Look at what you have done in all your life. Those are all non-events when you look at the cross, which is very important. Because this witness is about the cross. This witness is not about how good your fellow you are. This witness is just simply declaring, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that the reality of His gift of His Son will be manifested within you, that you will receive it, you will realize it, you will express it in a lifestyle. And in that process, you will discover the truth that will set you free. No bluff. So when God tells you about faith, He says that faith is manifested in hope. And that hope that manifests in faith, that faith is the substance of hope, the evidence. So God means for you to know the evidence. And that evidence He will manifest in your heart. He's not going to con you about it. And if you don't realize the evidence of the truth in your heart, you still haven't heard what God is telling you. Right? Are you with me? You see, nothing in the Christian faith is based on blind belief. The entire Bible is structured as a testimony. The testimony of a whole bunch of guys and women, but overriding all of that testimony, the testimonies of men and women, is the testimony of God Himself. So by declaration, the Bible is saying that everything in God is meant to be a testament. That until and unless you realize that testament, you haven't heard what God is saying. So we don't have to con people into becoming Christians. You have to present the gospel and let that man and that woman choose. Do I want this or not? It is between him and God. We are just the vessels facilitating the union. We are just facilitating the message. We are just facilitating the witness. Praise the Lord. But when that witness manifests, human lives change. No bluff. Everything that cripples the human soul, everything that cripples the human soul in darkness and in sin can be broken in the name of Jesus. Everything. It's our duty to show that. It's our duty to prove that. And that duty can only come forth as we commit to receiving God's witness. Not trying to cook something up by intelligent thought processes. God doesn't require our intelligence. He's got enough for Himself. Right? He doesn't require our brilliance. He wants us to realize His brilliance so that we can function in His brilliance. So this witness is about God manifesting His brilliance inside of you and causing you to shine with His light, causing you to shine with His brilliance, causing you to shine and function in His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in every field of human endeavor where we are involved in. Whether we are in the professions, whether we are in business, whether we are in universities, whether we are in colleges, whether we are kids, right? Whether we are in ministry, God wants us to proclaim and realize the witness of His brilliance. We have not been willing to do that. So few Christians have been willing to do that. So many of us have been got caught up with a religion, right? We have got caught up with trying to please God in our own strengths. That's never what God asks us to do. You see, we are no longer under the law. Under the law, God said you try your best. And then he showed that your best will never make it. So when Jesus came into the world, the time was right for the world to understand that the law does not work. That the law cannot save you. That what you need is grace. What you need is mercy. What you need is the forgiveness of God. What you need is the power of God. What you need is the enabling of God. What you need is life from God. That man cannot live on his own. That man does not have the skills to work on his own. That man does not have the skills to do something and see it being sustained. We must understand the difference between the transitory and the abiding. Everything that we do is transitory. Yes, it's real. You can touch it, you can feel it. The only problem is you can't keep it. Hello? You can't keep it. And that's the tragedy of man. That there are so many things that we can do, but there is no force that can sustain it. God opens to us the abiding. And he means to unveil the witness of that abiding inside of you. He wants you to know and understand that in him, everything is built in eternity. Everything is built in a continuity. That even if you die, your life continues. And he says, I will give you that witness of confidence. I will give you that witness of confidence. I will manifest it in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the church in the early days grew. What did they preach? They preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because until that time, nobody preached the life after death. They had some vague notions that maybe God saved us. Or God would raise us up one day. But there was no real notion or conviction of life after death. But the moment Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you will find that the apostles were energized by the Holy Spirit to understand that there was an answer to death. That the power of death could be broken. That man can receive from God the assurance of a future. The assurance of being blessed. Assurance of having an inheritance and a possession entirely given by God. That man would have the potentials of receiving and realizing the provision of God. And everything that God gives you becomes part and parcel of your being, guys. See, we are so impressed with things we possess. See, God blesses us differently from the world system because God blesses us in the person of our being. He transforms our nature. He transforms our character. He manifests his power inside of us. He manifests his witness inside of us. He makes us vessels that carry the treasure of his witness, the treasure of his presence. And you can express it. You can test it out. And God is asking us to come into that reality so that we will enjoy our Christian life. So when others look at us, they will see the light of God shining through our faces. Not look at us as a sorrowful bunch of guys who are in misery. Hello. So this witness is what God is giving us. When we talk about things like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when we talk about things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this witness that we receive from God is the means by which all that is going to come forth. If we are going to prophesy in the spirit and life of Jesus, then this witness has to work. If we want to just prophesy, just releasing something out of our own, then we can do it by just operating an anointing. But God doesn't want us to operate an anointing. God wants us to function in a witness. And in that witness, there is an anointing. And that anointing is the anointing of the Spirit of Christ. In that anointing and in that witness, Christ will be proclaimed. The power that will release the prophetic word is resurrection power. And that will transform lives. And you can test it and see. You can see lives actually being changed. And God is inviting you to discover that so that you can find a purpose in life, a purpose that will never end. That you will understand that God has called you to be a blessing to nations. That's why the Bible keeps repeating that nations will come to our rising. You see, but so much of our Christian religion has been manifested in what man can do. Hello. And so much of what we have done in the last 2,000 years is an absolute disgrace. Because what we have manifested are the good thoughts of men, and what happened was the good thoughts of men turned out to be evil too. That in the intent of doing something good, we did a lot of things that were not right. That if you read church history, you will find that people were put to death, people were tortured, all kinds of things were done. But if you look at the sources of those thoughts, they were all men's thoughts. The people thought that if we can force people to accept the truth, my goodness, we are doing them a favor. Hello, it doesn't work like that. It's about a relationship. And in trying to force people to follow a religion, we lost our relationship with God. And so our religious practices became religious practices. And the reality of God just diminished. Why? Because we were so interested in manifesting our fleshly witness. And our fleshly witness is evil. And so God is telling us, this witness I have given you, I want to manifest it in you. Will you have the courage to trust God for that? Looking at the cross, can you trust God that this witness will bring blessings to your life? When God deals with your character, let Him deal with it. When God tells you, you must forgive that person, go out and do it. All you will lose is some of your pride, and that needs to be lost anyway, because it's never been any worth to anybody. So look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He humbled Himself even unto death. That He did not grasp the fact that He was God. He just yielded Himself to the Father's will in order to save us. That He despised the shame of the cross because He saw the joy of salvation. So brethren, we too need to see a new way. But we can only see if God provides us with that sight. That we can only hear if we ask God to provide us with ears that hear. That we can only receive and realize if we ask God, give me a clean heart, give me a pure heart, change my heart, O God. Right? Can we change? Yes, we can. Why? Because the cross testifies to the nature of Jesus Christ. I put it to you, brethren, that if you and I receive the nature of Jesus Christ, we will all change. If you receive the faith of Jesus Christ, you also can walk on water. Hello. If you receive the love of Jesus, you can also love the prostitute and touch her life in such a way that her life will be transformed. Hello. And that's what God is talking about, this witness. So as we talk about entering into ministry, we must understand that the purpose of the ministry is to manifest the witness of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the ministry is to communicate this witness in blood, water, and spirit that God has given inside of us. It is not to demonstrate that we are anointed people who can do miracles and signs and wonders and whatever else. There is no purpose to that if the testimony of Jesus is lost. If we do not stand on pulpits and proclaim, if we do not stand on street corners and tell people that Jesus makes a difference, and it shows from the way we speak, it shows from the way we look, it shows in the way we behave, we have failed the Lord. Because He gave Himself to us. And what we receive from Him, we must proclaim Him. It is not about proclaiming an anointing. It is not about proclaiming power. It is not about proclaiming just words. It is about proclaiming Jesus. It's about living Jesus. So this witness is about receiving and realizing and living Jesus. Do you want that? Do you want that kind of a ministry? Do you want to be able to speak and the way opens for someone because Jesus is being proclaimed? Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He opens the way, He manifests the truth that will set the person free, and he unveils inside of that reality the life that the person needs. A life with a faith and love that He defined on the cross. A life with a character and the nature that He defined through the cross. Listening? You see, it is so important for us to receive and realize the beauty of Jesus Christ. Because you cannot speak of the beauty of Jesus Christ if you have not received and realized it. This is not some theological mumbo jumbo. This is not about expounding some theological and intelligent viewpoint. It's about unveiling the heart of the Master. Because only His heart has saved us. Only His heart has made a change in our life. It is what He manifested for us that has made the change in our life. And it is our duty to communicate His heart through everything that we become, through everything that we do. Otherwise, what ministry are we doing? For 2,000 years, we have done all kinds of things using the name of Jesus. We even went to war using the name of Jesus. We killed men, women, and children using the cross as a symbol. So much so that the cross became a sign of terror to the Muslims and the Jews. All that has to change. It can only change if we are willing to manifest the love of Jesus. And it starts with you and me. We can't live for other people, but we can certainly live our lives the right way. We can certainly learn how to minister the right way ourselves. We may be a small ministry, but it doesn't matter what is small. The important thing to understand is that if we can manifest the bread of life, the Lord Jesus will multiply it. He will multiply it because He is God. He will multiply it in ways that are far beyond our intelligence simply because He is God. And He can do things that you and I can't even imagine. He can do things far beyond our capacities. He can bring forth from our hearts realities that will transform humans' lives in an instant. But all this is about God. So this witness is the means by which God means to communicate Himself into us and through us. And it is our duty to ask God to receive and realize this witness. So are you listening? Alright? So God wants you to receive and realize this witness so that you can be the vessels that He wants you to be. To stand before Him and to do what He wants to do. What is it God wants to do through your life? So remember Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give to us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that we will know, so that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, so that we will know what is the hope of His calling. Everything starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ is this witness that we have within us. This true and faithful witness. The witness by which we are to learn how to live a brand new life. As you learn how to live in this witness, as you learn how to function in this witness, you will find that your habits, your fleshly habits, will by themselves start falling away. By themselves, it'll start falling away. But as you receive and realize the revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart, the first thing that God will give you is a purpose. He will enlighten your heart, and He starts with a purpose, and that purpose is His calling. Brethren, we are all called. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't even understand what that means. The Bible says that God had us in His heart from the foundations of the world. Again, it is a reality we can't understand, because we are bounded in space and time. We can't understand the abiding. But God wants us to realize the abiding. And the moment God starts revealing Jesus Christ to your heart, what comes alive to you is the sense of the abiding. The sense of purpose. A sense of destiny. A sense of usefulness. A sense of being a blessing. And you are called to realize that. But you must understand that that calling has to come out of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is saying. Your heart must be enlightened in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, this calling will not come. You see, a lot of us are focused on doing ministry or building a church or expanding the church or evangelizing the nations. And we have forgotten that the heart of it all is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is trying to say. That's what John is trying to tell us. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. And that witness is true and faithful. That witness is of Jesus. And in that witness, Paul is saying, right, in that revelation of Jesus Christ, you will, your heart will be enlightened. Your eyes will be open to see the things of God. And you will be enabled and empowered and energized to answer the call that God has on your life. So if you go on, what does it say? What is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him? So this witness is a power witness. This witness is a witness unveiled in resurrection power. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a theoretical reality 2,000 years ago. It's a living witness that is to be manifested in you and me. It is meant to unveil us as a brand new creation, as a being able to do things in a new way, being able to understand things in a new way. Are you listening, brethren? It's very exciting to get into this witness. Don't corrupt it. Don't corrupt it with your carnal thoughts and your carnal ambitions. Always remember that if you read the scripture properly, you will find that God has got an ambition over your life that is far beyond your intelligence and your capabilities. I will repeat that God has an ambition on your life that is far beyond your intelligence and all of your capabilities. And God's ambition over your life is forever. So as you read and understand what we have been teaching in this program, please understand that it is to realize what God has equipped you with in His will. Remember Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12? That God is watching over His word to perform it. It's so important that God perform His word inside of you. Because that word is creative. That word can enable you to do things you never imagined you would do. I mean, there was one point in my life where I would sit with a beer glass and a cigarette and I never thought I could live outside of that. Today the smell of alcohol makes me sick. Today the smell of cigarette smoke makes me vomit. It may bring nausea inside of me. Who changed me? Right? So we need to understand that the witness of God brings genuine change. It is not hocus pocus. It is not blind faith. It is truth with an evidence. And that evidence is characterized by change in your character and your nature. What more proof can God give you? If He can change your character and your nature, you should know that this is all God. If He can enable you to enjoy things that you despised before and make you actually enjoy it, surely you will know, you must know that what God says, I am manifesting a new creation, is true. That He is actually changing your nature and your character. Why don't you want the change? Receive the word and the change will take place. Praise the Lord. Amen. So in this segment of this teaching, I just want to talk about energizing the Word of God. Energizing the Word of God. I want to look at a Greek word that is used in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The power that works within you works inside of you in this witness. In this witness, God is going to equip you with things far beyond all that you ask or even think. Listen to those words. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. That is God's purpose to unfold change in your life. But that change is contingent on the power that works within you. Today I want to talk about that word works. It's either comes from the Greek word energios or the Greek word energis, from which our English language has realized the reality of the word energy and energize. So power has to be energized within us. Why do we pray in tongues? We pray in tongues in order to energize the mystery of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think it is the second verse, it says that when you pray in a tongue, you pray mysteries, right? You enter into mysteries. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. Go back home and read it. There's something called the mystery. And the mystery is in verse 4 called the mystery of Christ. And that mystery of Christ, verse 9 says, must be brought to life, light through the church. So that mystery of Christ is what we have to enter into as we pray in tongues. See, praying in tongues is not just to see a vision or to hear a voice or to realize power or to realize a miracle. It is to unveil the mystery of Christ. When you operate a gift, it is so important that through the gift, Christ be seen. That when you do a miracle, people understand that this is Christ being manifested through his vessel. That we do not become showmen on pulpits, because no one will be saved by that. Human lives will not be touched by superstars. We need to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the gifting. So when we energize the power that God has invested in his witness, when we pray in tongues, we must have this reality that we are energizing the mystery of Christ. We are energizing what is hidden in Christ. We are energizing what God wants to reveal of Christ Jesus. You have heard the Greek word rhema. Rhema is spirit and life. When that rhema word testifies of Jesus, it unveils his spirit and his life. When you pray in tongues, God wants you to energize the spirit and life of Jesus, not the spirit and life of your own thoughts. He wants to energize the word of God. Are you listening? So when you prophesy, for instance, God wants you to release the spirit and life of Jesus into somebody's life. So why do you prophesy? The Bible says you prophesy in order to comfort, to exhort, right? To encourage, right? To build, right? So how do you exhort? How do you build? How do you comfort? Through the spirit and life of Jesus. Are you listening? If you stand up and preach a message, it is so important that that message communicate the spirit and life of Jesus. Because the spirit and life of Jesus will cause people's hearts to be open to the glory of God. People's hearts to be unveiled to the mystery of Christ. They will realize, oh my goodness, I have something in Christ. I can have a new life in Christ. I can have a new future in Christ. And I don't have to stand on my head to receive it. Hello. I don't have to stand on my head and balance on one finger to receive it. It is there available free of charge. It is a manifestation of grace. So you remember 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14? That grace is an expression of the faith and love that are found in Christ Jesus. So listen to the words. That as you proclaim the grace of God, you are releasing the faith and love of Jesus. Hello. And that's what ministry is supposed to be. Releasing the faith and love of Jesus. Because he died for that guy you are preaching to. He died for that guy you are counseling. He died for that guy you are praying for. Are you listening? So how do we minister to somebody? We minister to somebody by releasing the faith and love of Jesus. And when you release the faith and love of Jesus, there's nothing to boast about. Hello, it's a privilege. So in your heart, your response to God should be a response of thankfulness. Thank you for using me. Thank you for making me a blessing. Thank you for enabling me to find a purpose in my life. Hello, it's not about shining like superstars, because all superstars become shooting stars. But God wants you to be a morning star. A morning star is a star that keeps on rising forever. And that's the kind of star that God wants you to unveil. But Jesus is the bright and morning star. So what is God telling you? Unveil the radiance of Jesus inside of you and you will be a rising star forever. But you are a rising star in his glory. Don't forget that. Don't come out and say you paid the price for it. That because you fasted 40 days and 40 nights or 360 days and 360 nights, that you earned all this. You cannot earn perfection, guys. A sinful person cannot earn perfection. It is given, it's a gift. It is something that the Holy Spirit has labored to manifest inside of us. It is something that Jesus has truly mediated into our hearts. There's nothing to boast about. There's only something called gratitude to express from our hearts. It's very important that we understand this. Don't forget that. He has saved us. So you energize by using tongues. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. That tells you two things. The same Spirit represents the Holy Spirit. It also represents the Spirit of Christ. Because when we function in the gifts, we are activating the Spirit of Christ alive in us. Remember, Rhema, word received in truth, is the Spirit and life of Jesus. The gifts enable us to give expression to the Rhema that we have received. So the Spirit of Christ that has been made resident within us is activated by the Holy Spirit and released as gifts. Make sense? So he says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So he tells you that this mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ is the mystery unveiled in his Spirit. All right? That mystery has got a variety of gifts available to you. So discover what God wants to bring forth in your life. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. Amen. So there are so many different kinds of ministries. Find out what God wants to bring forth in you. But you must understand that that ministry must be established in the Lordship of whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's very important to understand that. There's no meaning to ministry if you're not going to proclaim Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Now the Greek word works there is the same Greek word that we just read in Ephesians 3:20. The power that works within you. So here it's talking about all that works within you. That Greek word is, like I said, energis or energios, one of those Greek words. In the Amplified Bible, it is translated as inspire and energize. Inspire and energize. So when you function by the Holy Spirit, there is an inspiration and there is an energization. Next week we will have a workshop on energizing what God gives us by the Spirit. We're going to pray in tongues and we're going to discover practically how we can use tongues to energize the Word of God. Always having this hope on Jesus. Always having this hope on this purpose of unveiling the mystery of Christ. So that we will function in the right spirit. Are you with me? So that we will function in the right spirit. So that we will receive and realize the word of God. So that as God releases that word in the spirit and life of Jesus, we are built in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We actually begin to realize changes in our lives. Praise the Lord. So today we have talked about something that is awesome. This witness within you is powerful. Don't despise it. Unveiling it to the glory of God must become the focus of your life. Because this witness will enable you to stand before God at the speed of thought. This witness will enable you to stand before God and function before God at the speed of thought. When God blessed Abraham, he told him these words. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him saying. And he goes on to say. That I will bless you and I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. But I want to focus on those words. Walk before me and be blameless. Now the reason why God has given you a witness. is so that you can walk before God and be blameless. And when you walk before God in this witness, you will always be blameless. Because this witness functions out of the cross. And no matter how many failures you have in your life, or no matter how many times you fail, as long as you choose to function in this witness, God will set you free from sin, address your failures, and transform those failures in the victory of the cross to triumphs in Christ Jesus. That's why the Lord says, if you walk in this witness, you will be holy and blameless. And you will have a sense of being before the Almighty God. Are you listening? In Psalm 91 it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We could have translated that as he who is dwelling in the secret place, he who is tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. He will be overshadowed by the Almighty. So this witness is about that. Occupying your position that God has given you. You don't have to compete for it, guys. You don't have to put a knife into somebody's back in order to get your position. Right? That position has been reserved for you in Jesus' name. Right? You don't have to compete with me, and I don't have to compete with you. I don't have to feel jealous about you, and you don't have to feel jealous about me. Right? Because your position is your position. No, it's only a question of whether you want to realize that position or not. That position is tabernacled in God under the shadow of the Almighty. So as long as we are willing to walk into that witness, right? And not be deterred by our failings. We have many failings. Hello. That's our whole life story, by the way. Right? So don't forget the cross. No matter how many failings you have, God's witness to you is still the same. I love you. I have chosen to die for you. And in my faith and in my love, you have a future. As long as you are willing to walk before me, you will be blameless. And you will become holy. Nobody can take that away from you. I will bring it to pass, and I cannot be defeated. But you must choose to walk before me. Alright? That you have to supply. Right? So whenever you feel that you are far away from the Lord, you can energize it by the Holy Spirit. You can energize the reality of being alive to God by the Holy Spirit through tongues. That's one of the reasons why, you know, we preach tongues so powerfully here. Because it is the means by which you can function in the grace of God. It's a means by which when you feel lost and helpless, there is still a means by which you can draw from God. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this true and faithful witness. This true and faithful witness that the Lord Jesus Christ manifested to us through his sacrifice. Jesus suffered to give us this witness. Jesus chose to forgive us. Jesus chose to manifest a faith and a love that no human being, no creature in the universe would have manifested, Father. And he manifested it through the cross so that all of us, oh God, will find a new life through the power of the cross. So Father, even as we stand before you today, we ask you to release into us a conviction of this witness. We ask you to release into us a conviction that we have something that is truly a treasure in our hearts. So enable us by the Holy Spirit to realize this treasure in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Enable us to understand that this treasure is your gift. This treasure is given to us in and by and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This treasure is a manifestation and expression of the name of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus. Enable us to realize this witness, enable us to treasure this witness, enable us to use this witness in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Enable us to function in this witness in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, so that we will truly be your vessels, that we will truly be the vessels that you have fashioned and formed in your grace and in your mercy. Bless each one of us, O God, and all of us who are listening to this tape, O God, that we may receive and realize the treasure of your heart. That we may all unveil in the position that stands in blamelessness and in holiness before you. That by the Spirit in Christ Jesus we will walk before you, be holy and blameless through this witness that you have given us. We give you glory and honor, worship and praise, Father. for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.